You got it. It's Pentecost Sunday. It is Sunday, without a doubt. It is Sunday, but it is Pentecost Sunday. And so we're going to take a short break from our series in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's just a great morning, you know? Have you ever thought about how exciting it is to be a Christian? Have you thought about that? I mean, it's exciting because we realize that we are accepted by Jesus. We've accepted Him, and He's accepted us. We've received forgiveness for our sins. We have eternal life, and we're on our way to heaven. I mean, that's exciting. But it means more than that. It means we are part of God's family, reaching out to share His kingdom with the world around us. It means that we're Christ-centered, people-centered church. That's who we are. Think about it. That means, first of all, that we must be who we say we are. If we're Christ-centered, people-centered, if we're living for the kingdom of God, we must be who we say we are. We need to walk the talk. We can't just be out there saying, oh, we love people, we forgive people, and whatever, and not do it. We need to be filled with love for others as Jesus is. It's not about just coming to church. It's about being the church out there. It's about being the good Samaritan to those we see who are hurting, to the down and outers, no matter what their race, color, or status in life is. It doesn't matter if they're a millionaire or they have nothing. We need to be there for them when they're hurting. It's about being the hands, feet, and mouth of Jesus to all people. It's realizing that many we meet each day are headed for an eternity without Jesus, an eternity in hell. They don't know the love of the Savior. Jesus' love is that none should perish. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that kind of responsibility can place a little bit of fear in my life. It can just replace that fear in my life. It can make me a little scared that my neighbors might be going to hell, and it's my responsibility to build relationships with them and share Jesus with them. And it can be a little scary. But you know, the Bible is not just a story about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, us accepting what He did for us, and we're on our way to heaven, the end. That's not where it stops. The Bible didn't stop after the Gospels. It didn't just stop there. It continued on, and we're so thankful for that. The story reads on. And we can read even back in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, God declaring that there is more to the story. For we read, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Joel prophesied that God was going to pour out His Spirit on His people, on all His people. Then we read Jesus saying in John chapter 16, verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. The Counselor is the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the whole same Holy Spirit that Joel was talking about. And they're all both talking about the day of Pentecost. The Greek word for Counselor in the verse that we just read here is the word paraclete. And it means one coming alongside. The Holy Spirit is the one who will come alongside us, who will teach us, who will lead us, who will guide us. Jesus is saying to his disciples that they need the Holy Spirit. In fact, listen to what Jesus states in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, that's his disciples, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptizes with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Here again, we hear Jesus stressing the importance to his followers to receive the Holy Spirit. So much so, he says, this is my command, that you wait. You wait for the Holy Spirit. It's a command. The Holy Spirit is important. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who was sent by God to save the world. And then he recruited his disciples, the disciples, to partner with him in saving the world, to reaching out to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Jesus knows he was going to be with the Father, but he assured them, his disciples, that he would not abandon them to try and follow him on their own. Jesus is saying, you can't do it on your own, so I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I'm sending him to be with you. So who is the Holy Spirit? I mean, people can become really weirded out when we start talking about the Holy Spirit. Like, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, some think of the Holy Spirit because he used to be called the Holy Ghost, and he is. Their default picture is Marley, maybe, of the Christmas, Marley's ghost from the Christmas Carol, or maybe at best, Casper, the friendly ghost. You know, like, when we talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a sheet that is blown around by the wind. Is it just some force, some mystical power to make the followers do miracles? Well, as we read in the Bible, we soon realize that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force. Do you know that in John chapter 16, verses 7 to 14, so in those 8 verses there, we see Jesus uses the masculine pronoun 11 times when referring to the Holy Spirit. So 11 times he uses words like he, him, his. He's not a force. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Also, there are many verses in the Bible which reveal personal characteristics of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is known to love. The Bible tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Can you grieve a force? Can you grieve the wind? You can't grieve the wind. Can you grieve power? No, you can't grieve power. Power can't love. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit can be lied to. And that's just to name a few things. See, the Holy Spirit is not just a force. It's not just a power. He is a person. Yet the Holy Spirit is more than any person. He's not just any person. For if we had turned to Romans, Paul states that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And then in Matthew, Jesus declares that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the person of God who comes to dwell inside his people. He is the third person of the Trinity. He dwells within us. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? The Holy Spirit is God in us. Paul is saying that the bodies of the believers, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit dwells in us, it is the place where, in a sense, heaven and earth connect. God connects with us right down here. His Spirit lives in us. Are you piecing this together with me? The Holy Spirit is not a force or a mystical power. He is the person of God who comes to dwell in His children, to lead and to guide them in doing the mission that Jesus called us to do. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He fills them with His Holy Spirit. God has equipped His followers throughout history, not with some mystical power, but with the very presence of God living in them personally, with His Holy Spirit. You want to pray and know God is hearing you? No problem. God is literally closer than your next breath. He hears. He's right here, living inside us. We don't have to shout. We don't have to yell. In fact, we don't even have to whisper. We can use our inside voice, our inner voice, and speak. He's there. He hears us. Are we afraid? No problem. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. Wow. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, from the tomb, that resurrected Him back to life, is living right inside us. He's there. If we're fearful, He will comfort us. He will draw alongside us. He will fill us with His peace. We realize that we're called by God to bigger things than we ever could imagine to do on our own. But we don't have to worry, because it is the living God who called Moses, David, Isaiah, Peter, and Paul, and the many others that we've heard of throughout history. And He is the one who equipped them, and He is the one who lives inside them and lives inside us. He will give us love for the unlovable, grace for those who rub us the wrong way, forgiveness for those who hurt us, make us a good Samaritan to those around us, and give us boldness to declare His word, His love, His grace, His mercy, His salvation to others. It is the Holy Spirit who will make us truly Christ-centered, people-centered Christians. So have we received? Did we receive? Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, and this is from the Message translation. It says this: "Now it happened that while Apollos was away in Corinth, Paul made his way through the mountains, came to Ephesus, and happened on some disciples there. The first thing he said was, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only? Or did you embrace Him with your heart? Did He get inside you?' We've never even heard of that. A Holy Spirit? God within us?" You see, these folks, at that point when Paul was talking to them at first in verses 1 and 2 there, they had only believed John's baptism. And they had not believed in Jesus really yet. They just believed in John. And John had preached about the one coming after him. And when Paul talked to them further, and if you read down in the verses further, you see that they accept Jesus and they're baptized in water. And after they're baptized in water, Paul lays his hands on them and they're baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit at that point in time. And they speak in tongues. We know as believers that when we accept Jesus into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, right? At that point, He comes and lives within us. But there is so much more. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which gives us power. Power to live the life Jesus has called us to live. Power to share what Jesus has done in us. power to have and to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. None of these gifts come from us. They are far more than we can do. It is a gift of faith that is far beyond the faith that we can muster up. There is wisdom about things that only the Holy Spirit could impart into our minds, far beyond our years. There is healing, which comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from us. There is tongues and prophecy, which are not conjured up by us. They can only come from the Holy Spirit. So I think when Paul meets these folks and he asks if the Holy Spirit got inside them, he knew that when they accepted Jesus that the Holy Spirit was in them. But what he was really asking, did the Holy Spirit really get inside you? Were you baptized? Were you filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing? Or was it all just head knowledge? I mean, do you know about the Holy Spirit? Do we know about the Holy Spirit? And that's nice, but it's no somewhere where we don't really, really tread and really think about. That's the question we need to answer for ourselves today. After we've accepted God, the Holy Spirit has come and dwelled in us. But have we just allowed him to dwell in our minds, or have we embraced him with our heart? Did he really get inside us? Has he taken over? God's plan from the beginning was to partner with his people for building the kingdom. He knew we couldn't do it on our own. Yet God, with God and the Holy Spirit inside us, God with us, all things are possible. God offers the gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but unfortunately, many don't accept that gift. And then we wonder why we struggle so much sometimes. If we're tired of trying to do it on our own, if we're ready to get out and have the kind of life that makes a difference, a life that follows Jesus' mission, then we need to choose to wait, to listen to the command Jesus said, to wait and to seek the Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to get inside us. God with us. As we think of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit, which is, by the way, ongoing. It's not something we just get and it's done and it's finished. I think there are three things that we need to keep in mind. First, there's that submission to God's ownership. Have we submitted our whole life to him? Many of us have accepted Jesus, if not all of us have accepted Jesus. And many of us have been baptized in water. So the Spirit has come and lived in us. And then we're baptized in water. And as Pentecostals, when we baptize in water, how do we baptize them in water? We baptize in the tank. We put the person completely under the water. Actually, the word baptismo means to completely submerge like a ship in the water, where the water would go into every portion, every nook and cranny of that ship. It's no different when we come to God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's about being fully immersed in the God person of the Holy Spirit. It's difficult to come to God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit if parts of our lives are saying, no, God, you know what? It's okay if you come into this part of my life, into this part of my life, into this part of my life, but don't come in here. Leave this alone. This is for me to take care of. That'd be sort of like somebody getting baptized in water and saying, well, I don't mind. I can be fully immersed, but don't, I don't want my left leg to be immersed, so I'm going to hold my left leg out of the water as I go in the tank. This is the same thing. It's pretty difficult, right? You can't be fully immersed if your left leg or your left hand or your thumb's out. We can't hold back. We need to ask ourselves, what am I holding back? What am I afraid of giving to Him? He's the God who loves us and cares for us. What are we afraid? What part of our life that I'm not letting God into? The second thing is we need to focus on God's calling. We need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is working in our life is all, not just about tongues and prophecy. I mean, that's part of it. And the spiritual gifts, and those are all part and they're all important. But the actual thing is it's leading us. The Holy Spirit is there to lead us in God's adventure that He's called us toward. He's there for us as people so we can go to speak to a place, speak to others, go to places and do things for Him. When we recognize that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is really about equipping us to be the Christians God has called us to be, something changes within us. So it's about submission to God's ownership. It's about focusing on God's calling. And it's about trusting in God's promise. Trusting in the most important step is the most important step. I mean, it is trusting that God who promised us a gift of the Holy Spirit will fulfill that promise. God's not one that says, here, let me give you this, and they say, oh, no, it's not for you, Scott. I'm going to take that away. That's not the way it is. We can trust, for He is faithful. He has promised us the gift. He will give us the gift. We also need to trust that God is a good Father. He's not going to give us a bad gift. He's not going to give us something that will harm us. He only wants to give us a gift that is good for us, for our best. Saying yes to the Holy Spirit is the beginning of an incredible life to the fullest. It will be far beyond our wildest dreams. I believe God wants to lead us by His Spirit to places where we will attempt bigger and greater things for Him. God will lead us into things that we need Him for because we are not enough and cannot do it on our own. At that time, we will be doing what Jesus has called us to do. The Holy Spirit will enable us to be Christ-centered, people-centered church. We will be about our Father's business. We will be about the kingdom's work. So the question really is, and still is, did we embrace the Holy Spirit in our hearts? Did we really let Him get inside us? I want to encourage each one here today, and I know we're just a small group, and I'm not sure if you've all been filled with the Holy Spirit. I know if you've accepted Jesus, the Spirit lives in you, but there's more. And I don't know if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but if you haven't, and you know, and the Holy Spirit is going and prompting you right now, I want that. And I'm going to hang around the front this morning. I want to pray for you. It may be you've been filled with the Holy Spirit before, and it's just sort of something that slipped away, and you just say, God, I need a refilling. I just need a refreshing. I want you to come too. And let me say, if there's anything else you'd like prayer for this morning, please come. Please come. The Holy Spirit is for each one of us as we follow Him to do His work. I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss. If you want prayer, please come. And then we're going to have lunch. I'm going to pray over the lunch at this time even. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You that over 2,000 years ago, You poured out Your Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And that it's no different today. You continue to pour out Your Spirit on Your children. And Father, we desire that because we desire to be Christ-centered, people-centered. We desire to be about the Father's business. We desire that others would know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And we know we can't do it on our own. Far too often I'm shy and back away, and I just need the prompting, the boldness of the Holy Spirit in my life. So Lord, I ask that you would refill each one of us with your Holy Spirit. May we walk in your Spirit at all times.